I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Sunday night, the Academy Awards come at us from Hollywood as we look forward to the annual Oscar show and the previous year in film. I am joined now by the author and journalist Stephen Hunt. He is an arts reporter for the Calgary Herald and the author of a very funny and terribly good book, The White Guy, which is soon to be published in the United States. You can read his blog, Blade Runner, on the Herald's website. I am pleased to welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Stephen Hunt. Good morning, Mr. Hunt.
Hi, Joe. Good to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Is
the Oscar show a big deal at your house?
It's half of a big deal. I always get excited to watch the Oscars, and I look forward to them. And my wife is an actress who did a lot of work in Hollywood over the years, doing TV and film and stuff, and she hates watching them. She doesn't like that whole idea that there's competition amongst actors or artists. She thinks that's an artificial sort of marketing ploy.
What is it for you that you like? Is it the ceremony a part of it, or is it because you're a big film fan?
Yeah, well, I think it's a bit of both. I think I'm a movie buff, and I'm a sports fan too, so I don't mind the whole competitive aspect of it. So but each year, every time it comes on, you know, part of my little brain in the front of my forehead makes an intellectual argument against it and thinks and dismisses it and all the glamour and all the dumb best song nominee performances and how the host is going to do. But then, you know, then there's the other part of me in my gut that sort of, like, enjoys putting on the TV. And maybe it's got to do with growing up in wintry places too. You put on the TV and it's California and there's people in no winter parkas and there's red carpets and it's movie stars and it's fun. It's fun until about 2.5 hours into the show, and then they're still stuck in the technical awards and there's about 1 hour and 20 minutes to go and you can barely keep your eyes open, and then it starts to drag a bit. But then it picks up momentum as they turn the corner for the home stretch. And then often they don't give it to the ones you really love, so you have this sort of bitter taste feeling. But
yeah, now it seems to me that the show itself and award shows in general don't seem to matter as much anymore. That in recent years numbers seem to dwindle. I was reading the press release from the Academy, and the estimated audience last year was 32 million, and that doesn't seem much compared to, say, American Idol or even the Super Bowl or things like that.
Yeah, it does seem like it's lost its punch a bit. I think the whole theory with that is that the films they've been nominating for 10 years or so are more arty films with low grosses, and the audience, a lot of the times you get these Best Picture nominees that people haven't seen, and people don't build up as much interest in seeing the show if they haven't seen the movies yet. I think the last really knockout ratings they got for the Oscars were when the Titanic was up for everything, and that was a real killer year. But, you know, things like In the Bedroom and little movies, like, there's a few more little movies this year that not everyone's gotten out to see. So I don't know if it's diminished. It has gotten a little bit of a, I mean, in a way it's a good development. In a way it's like they're acknowledging smart, good little movies and not going by the box office grosses, but it does cut into their audience. But that begs the question of, you know, what does it matter to you as the viewer if they don't have as big an audience?
And you've seen most of the films nominated, have you, Stephen?
Yeah, I saw all the Best Picture nominees.
Is there one that you think is particularly good?
There's two, I think. I think Slumdog Millionaire. Slumdog really stands out as a kind of a classic movie experience, just a tale, you know, a great Hollywood, the story that Hollywood probably tells better than any other, which is like that rags to riches kind of story, and it's melodrama, and I mean it's all done in the context of a Bollywood movie set in Mumbai with all Indian actors, so in that way it's really unique. But it's an old story that Hollywood does really well, and it's a wonderful movie. And Milk is a really good movie too. Just the whole story of Counselor Harvey Milk in San Francisco and the emergence of civil rights for gay people is a great story of an epic kind of American story that they do well, and Sean Penn does a fantastic job, and that stands out as well. So I'd say those are the two strongest candidates.
And politically, they seem to be the front runners. I mean, not politically in a politics sense, but in the sense of the just the sweepstakes of the Oscars. They're the front runners, aren't they?
It feels that way. I mean, you can't help but think that a gay-themed film is owed a bit of a payback since Brokeback didn't win in 2004. And it's hard not to love Slumdog Millionaire, though. So I don't know. But then this year they had the whole vote in California against gay marriage, the whole Proposition 8
right.
thing. That was kind of really a rejection of gay marriage by the state of California, I think. So there might be like a whole groundswell for Milk on that end, too. So there might be a little momentum swinging for Milk in that sense.
In the category of best actor, is Sean Penn the real front runner here?
Well, he is great playing Harvey Milk. I mean, everyone I've talked to is blown away by his performance. But then this is Calgary, where the home of Stampede Wrestling, and so people are really knocked out by Mickey Rourke too. And if you followed Mickey Rourke, he's had the whole cratering career for a decade and a half. Have you seen The Wrestler?
No, I haven't.
He is unbelievable in The Wrestler. I mean, The Wrestler is a bit of a melodrama. It's not the best written, but his performance in it just breaks your heart. And it just kind of mirrors his own experience of his own life. Like, he's gotten all sort of contorted and out of shape and misshapen and went from the penthouse down to the outhouse, and now he's back again in that movie. So, and if you were reading the papers today, his 17-year-old chihuahua died yesterday.
That's right, yeah.
And that was about his only companion for the 90s and the first decade of the 21st century. So there seems to be some sort of poetic justice there if Mickey would be to win the best actor.
And now Marissa Tomei, she's nominated for that film in this best supporting actress category. Has she got much of a shot there?
I love Marissa Tomei. She does a great job. She doesn't have the best written part in that movie, but she does a great job. I don't know who else is nominated in supporting actress.
Well, the two women from Doubt.
Oh yeah.
And I can't pronounce the woman's name from Benjamin Button, and the one that won the BAFTA award last week, Penelope Cruz in the Woody Allen movie.
Oh yeah. I love Penelope Cruz and Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
That's the only movie I've seen, and I think she's great in that.
That would be my favorite performance. The two women in Doubt, I'm a little surprised they got nominated, especially the Amy Adams. I mean, she didn't really do that much at all. And the other woman she's a friend of my wife's, and she just had one scene. She did a good scene, but it was like a monologue, basically, but it didn't feel like a, you know, I'd have to say Penelope's the favorite.
Do you believe in that curse that the woman who wins the Best Supporting Actress award, and if you look at the last 20 years, say, of the winners, they don't seem to do very much afterwards?
No, I know, it's true.
I think Angelina Jolie's the only one that's really come out of that, hasn't she?
It's true. Well, and Marissa won it about 15 years ago, and she never ended up having a great career in the movies, but she's gotten nominated a few times, and she's interesting. She does interesting projects. But it's harder, you know, there's not always great parts written for women, you know. The movies, like, what is the movie I just saw? I can't remember what it was, but it was just a classic example it was Frost Nixon. I saw Frost Nixon, and there David Frost had a girlfriend, and it was Rebecca Hall, you know, from Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Right.
And she's great, and she didn't really do anything. She just kind of got dragged around with David Frost for the whole movie and, you know, was meant to look beautiful. And I just thought that's such a classic thing in Hollywood to do, to just have this talented person just dragged around not having a great part to play. And I think that happens a lot to these actors and actresses. And, like, look at Halle Berry. I mean, it happens for best actresses, too. Halle Berry won that Oscar and did about three huge stinkers in a row. And Gwyneth Paltrow won Shakespeare in Love and vanished off the face of the earth.
Right. You said you mentioned Frost Nixon. Frank Langella's performance in that, is that what did you think of that?
Well, I love Frank Langella. I saw him do some stuff on Broadway. He's a great actor. I mean, he does a good job doing Nixon. But maybe it's just because Nixon is such an iconic guy, but you can hardly get past the fact that he's doing a great Nixon impersonation. It's almost like a comedy sketch as much as it is inhabiting the role. I mean, I think he did it really well. I read that. Did you read that book, Nixonland?
No, that I've seen it though. That's the one with I forget the guy's name now.
Jeff Perlstein or something.
Yeah,
like
I read
that.
An excerpt of it.
You'd like that.
Yeah.
It's a great book, but it's a great book about Nixon. So I'd read that this year, so I was really interested in Nixon, and so I knew a lot of maybe I just had a bit of the, you know, when you read a great book and you get all the context and stuff from a book, and then you don't quite get it as much in a movie, and you feel a little disappointed.
I saw Frost Nixon and Doubt on stage, and I really liked them. How did they translate on film?
I never saw Doubt on the stage, and I was a little reluctant to go see it because of that. I thought, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this. It'll be a little stagey, and people complained about that. But it didn't feel too stagey at all when I watched it. It was really translated well. It was really compelling, and it was really dramatic. It had Meryl Streep and, I mean, it had Meryl Streep and Seymour Hoffman, and they were just great together. And you never felt that it was slow or anything like that, or there was too much dialogue. It just flew by. But Frost Nixon did feel a little bit like, did feel a little stagey, and it lacked a little life. I saw it on the same night as Slumdog. It was like a double feature, and it just didn't catch fire for me. Felt a little disappointed.
Did you see? I mean, it's obvious that you see a lot of movies, and you go to the theater to see them. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I tend to watch movies on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think I lose something not seeing it on the big screen?
Yeah, I do. I went and saw Australia on the big screen at our Eau Claire cinema, and Australia it was a kind of a campy, big old Gone with the Wind kind of movie, but seeing it on the big screen was just great. You know, you just couldn't help but think, this is what it means to go to the movies, you know, huge screen, huge overhead camera shots, and epic Australian vistas. Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, sometimes I watch them on DVD on my laptop, and that's good, too. But it doesn't, you know, doesn't quite have that knock-your-socks-off thing that going to the movies does.
And you're a journalist, so my guess is you go to screenings during the day. Is that different as opposed to the rest of us who go at night?
I don't go that many times to screenings during the day, but I do go sometimes to those. I did that for Passchendaele, which was... They show them at 10 o'clock in the morning, and Passchendaele was there's like 10 journalists in the theater, and it was a big bloody war epic movie, and it is, you feel a bit weird watching a movie at 10 o'clock in the morning, but I remember thinking that when I was at Passchendaele, when the credits came on after the movie, and everybody... Usually all the journalists, they're a little cynical and stuff, but everyone sat there and watched all the credits, and you could feel like everyone was very moved by the movie in theater, and so it didn't really lose that much. I think it does lose a bit, though. I think it's nicer to watch it with a crowd of people at night.
You mentioned seeing Australia, and Hugh Jackman is the host this year.
Yeah.
What can we expect from him?
Well, he's a bit of a surprise because he's not a comic. He's more of a song and dance man, so I'm not quite sure. I mean, he's a pretty good time guy. He's an Australian guy. They tend to be fun. So he'll probably be a little less of a sarcastic, East Coast, caustic, you know, comedian like Jon Stewart or those guys or Chris Rock, and he'll be a little more paying homage to the whole... bigness of the Hollywoodness of it all, you know, and he sings and dances too, so there might be a little more of that LA feel to it than there has been in past years, where they seem to bring these guys in to host it to try to cut the whole idea down to size, and then they get these uncomfortable fits sets of sensibilities, and then everybody's sitting in the audience really nervous because they're all nominated, and no one laughs, and then the comics start to have a heart attack on stage, and it all gets a little weird.
He was great on the Tony Awards, so I thought he did a great job there. He even won an Emmy, I think, for one of them.
Oh, good. I didn't see that. But he's a good, he seems like a good guy, so I think he'll be a good one to host.
What do you make of Jerry Lewis getting an Oscar?
Oh, is he getting like a lifetime Oscar?
He's getting the Humanitarian Award for the telethons.
That's a pretty scary thought. I don't know. I didn't know that.
I hope he freaks out or something, you know, on stage. Don't you just hope that happens?
He just has the most enormous head now. It's just frightening, and I can just think, you know, it's just going to fill the screen, his head.
I hope he sings. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, that'll be good. I guess that'll make sure that I pull some numbers in France, because they love him in France.
That's true.
They love Mickey Rourke in France, too. It could be a big night in France for the Oscars.
Heath Ledger, he's destined to win the Oscar, isn't he?
Yeah, that feels like pretty much a lock. I'd have to say so. And it actually doesn't feel bad or anything, because he was phenomenal in that part. I mean, I think that movie is underrepresented. I think it was a really strong movie, and it deserved other things besides just Heath. But it's a bittersweet thing that he's going to get it, and he's not around to enjoy it.
And then Best Actress, the two front runners seem to be Meryl Streep and Kate Winslet. Is that your sense as well?
Yeah, I would have to say so. Meryl Streep was unbelievable playing that nun, because you don't really go in expecting to see a nun do anything that's going to really knock your socks off, and she just is an amazing actress, and she pulled that nun out of that habit and, you know, brought her to life. I mean, it really was just her face, because nuns don't have a body, right? They just have that black habit, and they don't have hair. They just are just eyeballs and a mouth, and she was amazing. She just jumped out at Hoffman, you know, it was like she was like some wrestler in a cage match, and she went after him, and she was great. And then Kate, you know, I love Kate Winslet, she's my favorite, but that's not my favorite thing I've seen her do, The Reader. The Reader is an odd movie. It has a bunch of interesting elements, and it doesn't really all add up to a single emotional experience that you really feel satisfied watching. You just get this feeling that it loses its marbles a few times and kind of pulls you out of it. Like, it starts out being a love affair with Kate and this young 15-year-old guy, and then it jumps, and the 15-year-old guy ages and becomes Ralph Fiennes, and that really pulls you out of the movie, and then there's a few twists of logic to it that really make you stop, and you're stop in your spot. So, but I mean, It does have a few of the elements that and there is a sense that she deserves one too, because she's been nominated 6 times. So I'd say she still has a good shot at it. And you know, often when you win it, it's not for the part that you really, you know, did a knockout job. It's when the politics catch up to the performer.
Right.
And you take it home.
Did you see Revolutionary Road, the other film that she was in this year?
No, I haven't seen that one. Have you?
No, I haven't, but it seemed to me that was the film that she wanted to be nominated for Best Actress.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people have been saying, that they wished, or they wish she got nominated for Supporting Actress, but she did. They turned in a much nicer job on Revolutionary Road, and somehow The Reader is the one that got it, and Revolutionary Road didn't.
And so on Sunday night, do you stay for the whole thing? Did you sit there for the whole, whatever it is, 3-4 hours?
3.5 hours.
Yeah.
I pretty much do, yep. I slog through it. Well, I kind of, you know, sometimes I'll drop in right at the start and see if them give out some of those supporting nominations, and then I'll go make supper or do something, because there's a bit of a long errand stretch in there. But I don't go away too much. I watch it, and I like it. It's fun. The Oscars.
It is. Stephen, I appreciate you coming on today to talk about it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
StephenBHunt.com is his website. If you haven't gotten The White Guy, you must. $22.95 from Douglas and McIntyre, and it's soon to be published in the United States. The Calgary Herald website, you can read his blog there, Blade Runner. Stephen Hunt on the line. I'm Joseph Plano.